Okay, Rabbosai, we continue our story of the Asara Harugei Malchus, and it actually gets more and more interesting. First thing is that we mentioned already that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol were brought in together. They were colleagues, and they were brought in together in front of this, I'm going to call him the Kesar every time. I don't know whether he is the governor or whether he is some sort of a special officer who was brought in to suppress a rebellion. I don't know the details, so therefore the Medrash calls him a Kesar, a Caesar. So we'll call him the Kesar. I think that's most convenient. So the Kesar says, right, I'm going to execute the first one. I'm going to behead the first of the Asara Harugei Malchus. So there's an argument. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, I'm the Nossi, I go first. I'm a Nossi ben Nossi, and I go first. Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol says, I'm a Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol, and I get precedence. I'm the first one to be executed. So Kesar doesn't know what to do. So he says, we draw lots. So they drew lots, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was the first one to be executed. It says that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was beheaded, and it says that Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol took the head of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and he held him, and he put Einov el Einov, or Piv el Piv, and he said, what a disaster, how terrible, this wonderful person who said such gewaldige divrei Torah all his life, etc. And now, Eich Loicheches as a offer, how it's... in other words, what a disaster. So Agav, I always had a kasha in my mind. Rabbi Shmuel was a Kohen Gadol. So how could he take the head of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and be Matama himself? It was that kasha I had for years. I got some thoughts about it. Yeah, number one, I thought maybe that he was probably already Tomei Mace. He was being held in a prison. There were probably other Jewish prisoners who died in there. There were other mesim around, etc. So whether by touching or whether by oil mes, etc., he was probably already tomei, in which case you can declare, shaleh nalocha, whether or not a kohen is already tomei, is allowed to be metame himself even further. Or do you say once he's tomei, so what's the harm? He was going to be executed.
He also didn't care if he were tomei. He probably wanted to lower his status, they shouldn't execute a kosher kohen.
There was always a chance he was going to be saved. You'll see in a minute that he was almost saved by the daughter of the Kesar.
Yeah,
so therefore, it's not guaranteed. Okay. So to say that he's going to be Metabe himself in advance of becoming Tommy, that's a bit what's it called. But that's one. The other thing that you could clear about is maybe that it says that Kivrei Tzadikim ain't on Metabe. So from Shem Gamliel was this Tzadik Tommy, and he'd been executed al Kiddush Hashem, it could be that his body is not Matame. I don't know. Those are thoughts, yeah? But tomorrow we're going to start learning about the story of the daughter of the Kesar. Now, I always thought until now, that this was just a story in brackets. It just happens to be at the side that the daughter asked for him to be saved, and he didn't agree, and then he killed him anyway, etc., etc. It's not a side story. It is essential to the actual story that we're going to be learning about. It's a feature of the story, and it matters very much. And later we'll look at the we won't look at the daughter, but we'll discuss the daughter tomorrow.
Started at Torah Way, Northwest London, Tuesday, Ches Tammuz, 23rd of June. Reino Rav Mordechai Mays, Shlita, Rav of Gehilas, Shira Satura, Betel Tikva, and Rosh Kodal of Shira Satura. Moda Ani, why is it the best way to start your day? This week's Torah has been sponsored anonymously, Linishmas, our esteemed founder, Rav Yosef Dov, Ben Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zichrono Livracha.
Thank you very much. I wanted to speak a bit about today about Moda Ani for the very simple reason that I think that the idea of a start your day the Torah way is one a fantastic idea, an idea where a person starts his day in the best way possible. So I wanted to speak a little bit about how we're meant to start our day as Yidden, how we're meant to start our day as people who are Uvdei Hashem. I want to speak a little bit about the concept of the phrase, in fact, of Moda Ani Lefonecho. So it's actually Bechol Machlus Yisrael, in every place, Sfadim, Bnei Ashkenaz, Moda Ani Lefonecho is said by everybody. And the fascinating thing is, it's actually not based at all in a Gemara. There's no Gemara, not in the Bavli, not in Yerushalmi, Moida Ani Lefonecho is actually from the Seder Hayoim. The Mishnah Brura brings down in Simon Aleph, Sif Kotten Ches, Toiv Loimar Tekef Bekumoi, Moida Ani Lefonecho, Melech Chai Bekaim Sheher Hazar to be Nishmosi Bechemlo, Rabba Imunosecho. That it's the first thing a person should say in the morning. It's a very good thing to do. But as I said, it's brought in the Seder Hayoim. The Seder Hayoim was Reb Moshe ben Machir. Moshe ben Machir was at the time of the Ariya Kodesh, time of the Beis Yosef, much, much later on. And he brings this phrase that one should say. It's good to say it every single day, first thing in the morning. It's not a pasuk. No, it's not a pasuk. So, part of it, no. Part the end of it, but not all of it. So he said, so we have to ask, why are we saying it first thing in the morning? And in fact, what's more interesting to note is that the Gemara says that when a person gets up first thing in the morning, the best thing should say, is actually Elohim Kain Neshoma. The first thing one says to Brochus at Daf Samach Omad Beis says, Ki mit arer oimer Elohim Neshoma, Boch ato Hashem, amachas in Neshoma, Sikol, and over there it's brought the entire Nusach of what we know is an Elohim Neshoma. Rabbeinu Yoino asked the question, so why do we say it nowadays? Exactly the same phrase. Why do we say the Kain Neshoma first thing in the morning before we say even the Tillis Adayim? That's the implication of what we see in the Gemara. And he explains that in those days, people were on a far loftier level of Kedusha, and therefore they were able to say first thing in the morning immediately Eli Kain Neshoma, their hands were still clean. Whereas we have to say something different. We have to say Moida Ani. But still, I want to ask, so what was he trying to achieve? The Seder Hayoim, Rav Moshe ben Machir, what was he trying to achieve by saying Moed Ani? Is it exactly the same as Elohim Kain Neshoma? And we see clearly that it's not exactly the same. We see clearly that the message of Moed Ani is actually quite different from Elohim Kain Neshoma. There are certain similarities, but it's very, very different. And it's clear why you did that. Because he didn't want to render redundant the Elohim Kain Neshoma as something as afterwards they would say it, but the video already said it already, just without Baruch Atah Hashem, without Shem Hashem. So he said a different message altogether. His message was clear that what we are going through every night is a microcosm of what we're actually going to be going through at the end of days. The fact is that when our neshama returns to our body, what is actually happening is it's like Trias HaMeisim. So we say every morning, Moedani Lefonecha, as a sort of an example of what it is to go through Trias HaMeisim. It's not exactly the same. Elokai Neshoma talks about Trias HaMeisim. Moda Ani speaks about something on a smaller level, on a lower level of Trias HaMeisim. And that's what we're saying every morning when we say Moda Ani. We're actually thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu for what it is that we go through every single day of Kodesh Baruch Hu returns the Neshoma to our bodies. I once heard a story I learned in Keren Biavne some 30 years ago. I was there for 2.5 years. And I heard the story from one of my Magidish here. One of my Magidish here was very close to, he learned in New York. When he was about 70 years ago, so there was really no Olam HaTorah at that time, and he was sent to Chabad. He wasn't in the Babich, but he went to Chabad, and he was there one time in a Frebrenica. So there was a really exciting atmosphere there, and it was very. And one of the big Lubavitch Chassidim at the time, he was already quite gone at that time, and he turned to this to my Magid Shir, and he said to him as follows. And I think obviously for British people, it's a bit too aggressive. But we can learn something from the story, and that's what I actually want to learn from the story. From the story, I want to try and go into it now. He said as follows: "He says Mendel. Mendel wasn't actually a Lubavitcher, but he said his name was Mendel. He said Mendel, you lie 3 times every morning when you get up first thing in the morning. He said, I lie 3 times every morning. What do I do? So he says, you say Moide. You say thank you. You don't know what you're saying thank you for. Say Ani. You don't know who you are. And you say Lefonecho. In front of Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't know who Kodesh Baruch Hu is. 3 times every morning, first thing in the morning. You already said something you don't understand what you're talking about. So I wanted to rise to the challenge and speak a little bit about what it actually means. We're going to say this phrase every morning. Moida Ani Lefonecho. What actually we're trying to say? What are we actually trying to say when we stand in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu and we say Moida Ani Lefonecho? And it's pretty difficult. I'm going to be honest. It's very, very difficult. First thing in the morning, when you open your eyes, it's not exactly very easy to suddenly focus on Avodas Hashem. But that's the challenge that the Seder Hayoim has asked us to risen to. So we're going to try and understand, at least understand what we're saying when we say Moide Ani Lefonecho. So the first thing I want to say is Moide. What's the concept of Moide? What does it mean when I say thank you? So Pachad Yitzchok, in Pachad Yitzchok, the Rebbe Yitzchok Hutner, in Pachad Yitzchok Chanukah, he brings a very famous idea when he says that Moide has actually two implications in Lashon HaKodesh. It could be Moide saying thank you, and we know Moide something else. In the Gemara, it says we use the phrase Moide b'miktas when we admit a certain amount that we're chayev, or Hodas Baldin, we're admitting to the other side that we're actually wrong. So Moideh has actually two major implications, thank you, but also to admit. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Kutner, and I think it's one of the reasons why it's so difficult for people to say thank you. He says a person was created alone. Adam HaRishon was created alone. Why was he created alone? So he explains it because each... what are the implications of being created alone? He explains that a person wants to be somach al shulchan atzmoy. He wants to be reliant only on himself. He doesn't like to be reliant on anybody else. It's difficult for him to actually have to ask a favor from somebody else because he really wants to be to rely on himself. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, when I come and I say moide, when I say thank you to somebody, what I'm actually saying is I admit I couldn't do it without you. And that's possibly why it's so difficult to say thank you to somebody. Because at that moment, it's a bit humbling. So says Rabbi Yitzchak, moide, the concept of moide is that I admit that I couldn't do it without you. When we stand in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu every morning, or we're still lying down, we say, moide, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I can't do it without you. I need you. Lefonecho. Idea, what does it mean, lefonecho? When I stand in front of you and say, lefonecho, did we think, I went to kindergarten. In kindergarten, they taught us the short song, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, etc. So, of course, Baruch Hu's everywhere. Lefonecho. I know lefonecho, he's there. What am I saying when I say lefonecho? Moidani lefonecho. So the idea that is brought in Yeshua Soloveitchik brings it when he explains that the concept of tshuva. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, he says, "Kol ha-mitzvus shebetoira bein esei bein loisa asei, im over odom arachas mehen, bein bezodoin bein bishkogo, kishiyase tshuva v'yashuv mechetoi, chayv lisvadois lifnei akel boruchu." So, Rabbi Yishuv Soloveitchik asks this very simple question. What does it mean when it says that he has to do it lifnei akel boruchu? It's clear that it's lifnei akel boruchu. Everybody does tshuva in front of a Kodesh Boruchu. Who else are we doing in front of? So he explains that lefonecho, or lifnei, is a concept of tefillah. Tefillah is another way that we, as human beings, relate to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and we say, I need you. Tefillah says, I can't do without you. Tefillah says, I'm lacking something and I need you to give me that. That's what we say when we say to Kodesh Baruch Hu and we are lefonecho. And there's a fascinating he'ore, which I once heard from one of my rebbeim, Rabbi Shapira, Zein Zadik Gevorche. And he said that he saw it after he'd thought of it himself, he saw it in a Ben Yishchai. And the Ben Yishchai says that the word Odom, Aleph, Dalet, Mem, man, has a milui. Every letter has a milui. Milui is how I write the letter itself. For example, Aleph is Aleph Lamed Pei. That's the milui of the ois Aleph. So he says Odom, the milui of the entire word Odom is Aleph, there's Lamed Pei, Dalid has Lamed Taf, Dalis, and Mem, the last letter, is another Mem. So he says the Milui of the word Odom are the Oisius Mispalim. That means when I look inside a person, when I really want to find out what's going on inside, the real man is actually the person who actually is Mispalim. He turns to the Kodesh Baruch Hu and says, I'm lacking something and I need you. I missed that word. I'm sure you paid attention because I didn't at the time. I said oni. I have to understand that. What's oni? So it's moide oni lefonecho. What's oni? So oni is very clear that oni is not the physical body. Right? If that was true, then there would probably be more of me now than there was 20 years ago. And it's not the case. Oni is something ani. When I stand in front of Kosh, when I say moide ani lefonecho, as oni is the very basic awareness of my relationship with the Kosh world. It's the most basic me. That's when I stand in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and I say, I've got a relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Moide ani lefonecho, when I stand in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and I say, Moide ani lefonecho, I admit and I thank you, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that I can't do it without you. I'm in front of you and I'm in a situation of tefillah and I can't do it without you. Moide ani lefonecho. The next stage is Melech. Now Melech, I think it's had a bit of a bad press. In the last 1,000 years, the concept of Melech is, generally speaking, looked at as some sort of dictator. We're all the avodim of the melech. Even the House of Windsor, which, Baruch Hashem, has been quite amicable with Kali Shalot in the last hundreds of years. But generally speaking, the idea of melech is thought of as somebody who's really sort of comes above, and as I say, some sort of dictator. But in Kali Shalot, that's not what a melech is all about. The Rambam, when he brings what it is a melech is supposed to do, He says as follows, in Hilchos Melochim Perek Beis Halacha Vov, he writes, Roye Kol HaKosuv. The Melech is called a shepherd. Lirois b'Yaakov Amri. He brings a posuk, which is as a shepherd, the people of Jacob. V'darkei shel roye, and the way a shepherd is supposed to behave, mefarish b'kabole, k'roye edro yira'e, b'zroi yikabitz tla'im v'cheiko yiso. He's supposed to take the people in his arms. He's supposed to carry them. That's the concept of a king. A king is not someone who is a dictator. A king is somebody who cares about his people. A king is somebody who worries for his people. The Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim afterwards, Liboy hu lev kol kahal Yisrael. He is the heart of all Klal Yisrael. I just want to, as an aside, just to analyze what does it mean usually when we say that Klal Yisrael is when we talk about a lev. Very often, lev is associated with feelings. But I'll give you proof that it's not. The same Billy Beinu, Lahovin or Lahaskil Lishmoya Lilmoy the Lamid, we say every day. Put in our hearts, the same Billy Beinu, Lahovin or Lahaskil. I don't think with feelings. What are we saying when we say the same Billy Beinu, Lahovin or Lahaskil? Lave means it's meant to be the focus and center point of my existence. When we say to Kosh, the same Billy Beinu, Lahovin or Lahaskil, Lishmoya Lilmoy the Lamid, what we're actually saying is, Kosh Bochu, give me the strength. That should be the focus of my life. We're saying Bilibeinu Lahovin Lahaskin Ishmoy Dimud Alamid. A Melech Yisrael is meant to be somebody who the entire focus of the people is focused. Remember, he focused them to who? To Kodesh Baruch. That's what a Melech is supposed to be doing. That's what a Melech is supposed to be, a focal point of all of Klal Yisrael. And similarly, as we say in the Gemara says in Brochus Tachlon Ches, Malchus de Ara Kein Malchus de Rakir. As it is here on earth, so it is also in Shomayim. The concept of Melech in Klal Yisrael is meant to be exactly like the concept of a Melech when we talk about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that is somebody who worries for us all the time. That is somebody who is always looking out for our needs. Even though we know that part of the relationship we have with a Melech is that we have to have a certain amount of fear, as the Gemara in Kedusha says, "Tzom tassim olecho melech shtei emosoy olecho." That is fear. You should fear. Still, when it comes down to it, what we're meant to be having also is that feeling that Kodesh Baruch Hu, we can rely on Him. And that's, I think, in the appeal to what we say before Vidui on Yom Kippur, we say, "Onu amecho va'ato malkeinu, onu avodecho va'ato adoneinu." Onu amecho v'ato malkeinu. We are His people. We are your people, and you are our king. We are your servants, and you are our master. So, servants is not something to do without a king. Servants is what we have when we have an odoyim. But melech is as a people. After that, we say after moide ani lefonecho melech. We say chai v'kayim. Usually speaking, chai when we talk about chai in Loshna Kodesh, as chai is the opposite of dead. But that would be ridiculous to say that about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Chai v'kayom is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu actually causes the entire reality which we live, and it's v'kayom. As we said in the pasuk, Ani Hashem lo yishonisi. It doesn't change. He doesn't change. He keeps the world going all of the time. Moida'ani lefonech melech chai v'kayom. Then we thank Him for what? Shehechazar tabi nishmosi b'chemlo. You've returned my soul b'chemlo, with mercy. Exactly like it will be the end of days, Tchiyas HaMeisim will be an act of Rachamim, Rachamim Rabim. Still, we actually understand that every day we go through the same process on a smaller level. Bechemlo, He's returning our soul to us every single day. And then we close, Rabbo Emunosecho. I think that's the most powerful idea that's written in the Hod of Moedah Ani. Rabbo Emunosecho, your faith in me is great. We've all done the wrong things. We've all done something which wasn't exactly correct. And every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu worries for us. Do we get up in the morning again and again and again and again? Rabba Emunosecho, He believes in us. He believes in us that we can make a change. He believes in us we can grow a bit more. He believes that we can do something extra today. Every morning, when I get up in the morning, Moida Ani Lefonecho, I stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do something else today. There's something else to do. I've got to start my day like the way I should. Start sharing in Torah. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu believes in me that I've got the great things to do today. It It's an amazing Reb Tzodok. I don't know if it arrived in London, but in Eretz Yisrael, it became actually a song. Reb Tzodok writes in Reb Tzidkas Tzadik, he writes a very powerful phrase. He says, "Kashem shetzorich odom la'amin ba'ashen yisbor." Exactly like we're meant to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach tzorich achar kach la'amin ba'atzmoy. Exactly the same level of belief that he's meant to have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on that level he should also believe in himself. As he continues, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has something to do with him. It's his business. And he's not some sort of worker who is just going to come and go. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in him and wants him to do something. And he's got something to do. And everybody's got a task. And everyone's got something to do in this world. So every day when we get up in the morning, we say Moed Ani, what it's actually saying is, I believe that, yeah, I've got something to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in me. Now, after we've said all that, I want to add something, which I think for myself, anyway, was quite life-changing. When I first saw it, and I think it could have a very powerful effect. The idea is that every day what we're trying to do is we're trying to remind ourselves that we are not in control of the situation. We have Mea Brochus every single day. Mea Brochus are there to tell us every single day that we're not in control. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu is in control. And every day we have to remind ourselves because the situation doesn't seem to show our Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. Very often it's hidden. Every day we have 100 times a day the possibility to stand in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu and say, it's not really the way I think. I'm not really in control. Who's in control? Who's in control? And every single day we have to remind ourselves 100 times a day. Moida Ani is part of that reminding us of that particular idea. That every single day HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in control. But I want to see something else here, how that can actually have an effect on our lives. Rosh Hashanah, we say a very interesting phrase, which I think sometimes we forget, because we have said it so many times, we don't ask a few questions which we should be asking. We say in Rosh Hashanah and also in Yom Kippur, in Atah Kodosh, we say this follows. Uvechein tein pachtecho Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecho. Kodesh Baruch Hu, put fear into the hearts of everybody. V'yishtachmu lefenecho kol abuim, all the creations which are about you. V'yishyasu kulo maguda achas la'asoyis l'tzoyncho b'leiv avsholem. And everyone should come as a group to serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it finishes. K'moish yodanu Hashem Elokeinu sha'asholton lefenecho. As we knew that you could do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you're in control. I have to ask a question, and I'll say with a couple on my head, but I want to ask a question. Does it really make a difference? Whether we knew it or we didn't know it. Does it make a difference? Does it really make a difference at all? If we knew that he could do it, he couldn't do it. We knew you could do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're really strong. What difference does it make? And I'll ask another question. Has anyone gone through fear once in their lives here? You really want to fear? You really want to go through a stage of fear in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu? And you're not asking for yourself. You're asking for yourself and for your wife and for your kids, for everybody. Everybody's got a fear. What's the idea of pachad? So I'll answer the second question first. Pachad has two effects. Fear has two effects. It can have an effect where it freezes you. It can also affect where you find out what's really important. There was a frightening statistic which was brought out just after the terrible event of the fall of the Twin Towers. There were lots of phone calls made on the planes going into the buildings. They made a mechkar, they investigated. What were those conversations about? Yes, sir. What were those conversations about? What were people talking about? Were they telling their wives colour of the paint we decided for the sitting room? Go a bit darker. The sofas? Not exactly what we should have... Well, try the other model. No, it wasn't that. Two things people were saying to each other. I'm sorry and I love you. Pachad makes everything else small apart from what's really important. What's really important? Make it the focus of our lives. What's really important? Push everything aside and make it that real. That's what we're asking Kodesh Baruch Hu when we ask. And then we say, so I ask the question, Does it matter whether we knew or didn't know? What's Kamoshi Yodanu? So there are a number of sources I want to look into which really explain to us what Kamoshi Yodanu means. We have to know that to the extent that we recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world and his Hashkocha, to that extent the Kodesh Baruch Hu comes closer to us and reveals himself more. He has created a relationship where as much as we recognize him more in the world, so too he comes closer. There's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia Daf Pei Hei, that Eliyahu HaNavi wants a Rebbe that he can bring the Geula. So the Gemara says as follows, Gozer Rebbe Ta'aniso. He made a Ta'anis. Achizinu Rebbe Chiyo Vonov. And he put Rebbe Chiyo and Vonov, he put them in front of the Omud that they should be the ones who should daven. Omar Moshe Baruach V'Nosh Vaziko. They only said Moshe Baruach. They didn't ask for Moshe Baruach. They just said Moshe Baruach and the wind started to blow. Omar Meiri Dageshem V'Oso Mitro. They just said it. Meiri Dageshem and it started to rain. Ki Matan Meimam Mechaya Meisim. Then they came to say Mechaya Meisim Rigesh Almo. The entire world started to shake because it started having Mechaya Meisim. They didn't ask for Mechaya Meisim. They just said it. They just recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bala Bais. The idea is in this Gemara that if you just say it, if you recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that, then it happens. You could ask a question here in the Gemara, just as homework, the Ritva asked the question. They didn't say Shmoneh Esrei every day. So what happened until now? So, the Ritva over there says that because it was a tiny, special case, it was a special situation, so there's something else. But have a look in the Ritva. But there's another Gemara, and there, the Gemara speaks in Baba Kama about Rabbi Chanina ben Doiso. There was a Chofer Boirois. There was somebody who used to dig wells for Klal Yisrael. And one day, his daughter fell into the well. She fell into the well, she's going to drown. So they go to Chanina ben Doiso, she should daven. There's a Shoachas, she was in the boat. Shashni, she was in the boat. Shashni, she was in the boat. And then she came out. It was a miracle. He davened the news and he said it was going to happen. So they asked him, how did you know it was going to be okay? So he answers, Kach omarti, davar she'oiso yitzadik mitzari bo yikashel bo yizorei. This is what I said. I said that something which he, this fellow, he worked so hard for Klal Yisrael to dig these wells, it can't be that it will damage his kids. So the Gemara offers, Afal pichein meis b'nei b'tzama. Even so, after that, his son passed away from thirst. So there's a problem here. This fellow had really dug wells and wells and wells, and here his son dies of thirst. It doesn't seem right. The Gemara says, "Melam shekodesh boch medaktegim svivo afilu kuchut asayro." Midas adin afilu kuchut asayro. It's very, very, very. It can be very, very punishing. It says that even then, his kid passed away. But there's a shita mekubetzes. And unbelievable. He says, the Rizokin says, different pshat in the story. Omarti, when it says Omarti, what it means is, I said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can't be that he's going to die. So she's going to die. And even though her father was so active in digging these wells to Klal Yisrael, Omad ishmati davar zeh lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vehem davar shenitzdai v'iskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu ledivarai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to what I had to say. Shekein darkei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shemaskim lesforis ha-tzadikim bedor. Because that's the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That he agrees with what the tzadikim tain in front of him. And he finishes, because shemeis b'noi b'tzama kfar meis Rabbi Chanina ben Doiso. And when the child died from thirst, so Chanina ben Doiso wasn't in the world anymore. And he couldn't stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I told you, it can't be that it's going to be. What we understand is that when Tzadikim and Tzorim say also every year, when he stands in front of HaKadosh and he recognizes the HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world a little bit more, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes into the world a bit more. Then he reveals him that little bit more. K'moishi yodanu Hashem Elokeinu sha'asholtan lefonecho. We say, because it's because we've recognized you in this world as king. So you're going to be, so you come more into the world. And you're recognized more as king. And I think that's pshat. The Goyim brings its pshat. Not I think it's pshat. The Goyim brings its pshat. And you're like, oh, it's a pshat in a lingvish rechosh. I think we say it so often we don't even think anymore. We say v'yodata yoyim v'hashevoisa elavovecho ki Hashem hu elikim b'shomayim imal v'ares mitochas ein oid al kein in the kavel lecho Hashem elikim. We know v'yodata yoyim. We know today v'hashevoisa elavovecho. We have internalized the Hashem hu elikim b'shomayim imal. We know Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the heavens and v'ares mitochas ein oid. There's no one else. And then we say al kein in the kavel lecho Hashem elikim. Thus, we hope for you, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What's the thus? Al kein. Where's the connection between the second half of Elein Shabbat and the first half of Elein Shabbat? The pshat is v'yodata yom, to the extent that we will come v'yodata yom v'hashevoiso elavovecho ki Hashem hu elikim b'shamayim imal v'aretz b'dachas inoid, to the extent that we will recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu was in this world and He is the sole ruler. Al kein nekave lecho al Hashem elikinu. Thus, we can hope for the geula shleima. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will be as well nekave l'Hashem elikinu liros mehero b'siferes uzecho. To see very soon the revelation of His real strength. Shabbat love you. Thank you.